You are listening to episode 92.
And I also would like to introduce today the Okiki Video Bootcamp. Yes, I will be launching a course, which I will have a wait list in the show notes. And I will be launching some group coaching as well. I know there has been a lot of requests lately of people wanting to learn how can they create content for their own brands. And so I'm looking forward to bringing you along on the journey with that. If that's something that you've wanted to gain skills and techniques on, this will be for you. You'll learn systems on how to create content effectively and efficiently and have more time for yourself in the process while reaching your clients. Again, you can find the information for the Okiki Video Bootcamp in the show notes below. Today on this episode, I get to interview someone who was previously a Saskatchewan local and is now based in Calgary, but has had a lot of influence right here in our city and beyond. And that is Joelle Tomlinson. Joelle is an accomplished and versatile journalist known for her passion and her professionalism and captivating storytelling. She was born and raised in Saskatoon and developed a deep interest in journalism at an early age. And she pursued that higher education at TMU University of Toronto, where she further honed her skills and graduated on the Dean's List with a journalism degree. And with a career spanning over a decade, she has made a significant impact in the field of journalism. She's also served as an anchor and producer of the CTV morning show in Calgary between 2017 to 2023. And she was awarded the Emerging Leader Award in 2017 from the Western Association of Broadcasting and was nominated for the RTDNA Award for involvement in the Calgary Stampede coverage in 2022. And she is now in a point in her career where she is doing work in community engagement and storytelling and carving out a path of her own. So I cannot wait to share what she talks about today in terms of the future of journalism, being involved in her community, and also representation. And if you are enjoying the Okiki podcast, be sure to leave us a like and rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and comments. Let me know, how are you enjoying the podcast? This podcast is also brought to you by Okiki Consulting, where we empower brands to tell their stories through video content strategy in English and in French. So if you and your company need help with video content strategy, videography, or video editing services, be sure to connect with us today at okikiconsulting.com. And now on with today's episode.
Welcome to the Okiki Podcast, where we make inspirational people known. Brought to you by your host, Fionn O'Brien.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Okiki Podcast. And I'm super excited today to interview Joelle Tomlinson. And Joelle is an accomplished and versatile journalist. She's known for her passion in capturing and storytelling. And so she got into journalism at a young age. She pursued higher education at TMU University in Toronto and honed her skills and got on the Dean's List. And over the past decade, she has been able to be an anchor and producer on CTV Morning Live in Calgary and has also been awarded Emerging Leader in 2017 from the Western Association of Broadcasting and also has been nominated actually for the RTDNA Award for her involvement in Calgary Stampede Parade.
And so thank you so much, Joelle, for making an appearance today on the Okiki podcast.
Well, I'm excited. Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be able to have some conversations while we're relaxed here at home in the morning.
Absolutely. And so I want to kind of get into it because I definitely noticed you in the space. And I was curious, like, what got you started on your career and educational path and made you realize that journalism is something that you're very keen on?
Yeah, I would say that many journalists, when they look back and see what spurred them to get into journalism, it seems to be a common thread that it started way, way back. Like we're talking elementary school, high school, you kind of realize you have this knack for writing or you have a very curious mind. You ask a lot of questions. In my case, it was kind of a combination of all of that. I was the kid who really took to reading and writing early and wanted to interview everyone and wanted to make newsletters. And, you know, it's funny, my parents tagged me in this post where I'd done this newsletter where I went around the neighborhood and I interviewed all the neighbors. And I made this newsletter that went around the neighborhood. And it was cute to see because it was like, folks, read all about it, you know, all of the cliches. But it was very obvious from a young age that I was just very, very curious. So as I got into school, I stuck with the writing theme. I didn't really know where that would lead me. I would say more creative writing, like poetry and nonfiction, and just diving into that side of it when I was younger. And as I got into high school, a few teachers did take note and kind of pushed me a little bit towards expanding that skill. And in high school, I had one teacher in particular who mentioned journalism and said, you know, if this is a path that you're interested in, I really think I see a gift for it. I think that it's something you could look at as you head into your senior years as an opportunity. And I had an aunt who lived in Toronto who brought up Ryerson University. It's formerly Ryerson, now TMU. And proposed it to me and my parents and said, you know, this is a really great school. I don't know the chances of getting in. You know, it's a big city. I was in Saskatchewan at the time. So it's a cool opportunity, just something to take note of. I got locked in. That was grade 10. I was like, I'm going to TMU University. That's it. That's the only place I want to go. I ended up applying to a couple of schools, of course, just as backup plans, and went off to Ryerson. And when I was there in university, I did think it was going to be writing that I would focus on, and ended up being broadcast. So I went right into television. In my fourth year, I kind of focused in on broadcast, and it brought me to where I am today. I know it's 10 years later, 11 years later now. I hate aging myself, but yeah, a decade ago, and now I'm here today, and I have over a decade of TV experience. So that's the expedited version of my story.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I'm curious too, like, was there a trigger in like the program that kind of made you shift from like, oh, like I can focus on writing to actually I can be the one presenting the story?
Yeah, there was actually. So the way the program was formerly structured, I graduated 2012, was that you had to stream into a certain modality. So you could go into broadcast, you could go into print, you could go into magazine as well, and you would focus in. So I figured my focus would likely be print or magazine, just because that was where my foundational skills were. And then in my third year of school, we took a course that was all about TV, Introduction to Broadcast. And I enjoyed it, but it was really scary. And I think in hindsight, when you look back and something really scares you, and keep in mind at that time, you know, you're 19, 20 years old, you want to shy away from scary sometimes. So I didn't want to throw myself on the screen right away. I did a lot of the behind the scenes, the producing and the editing. But of course, in school, you have to try everything. So I went and did a couple of the TV show that we had there was called The Ryersonian. And one of the profs, seems to be a theme in my life. One of the profs came up to me and said, if you want to pursue broadcast, I think you have one of the factors. I think you have an it factor if that's something you want to pursue. So I sat on it. I realized the more I thought about it, I knew a lot about the writing. I knew how to get into the writing, but I had not developed any broadcast skills. So I made the decision to switch my focus and go into the broadcast option in my fourth year and kind of stream my skills and talents towards that modality. And it ended up really working out for me. And funnily enough, I did print for the first year after school. I didn't do broadcast. I thought I needed to hone my writing a little bit more. So I went straight into a newspaper in Saskatchewan. And then a year later, I jumped into the broadcast world.
Thank you for that. And also, that's a really good segue into like another piece. So what was it like when your career actually started? As you mentioned, you started with a newspaper in Saskatchewan. So what was the buildup between that to like the work you did with CTV, for example? Like, what was the process for that?
Huge process. I would say there's almost too many factors to consider and just put into one answer. One thing that I did do while I was still in university was I was interning. So I would go home to Saskatchewan for the summer. I would bug a news director or bug an editor and be like, can I please just get some work experience? At that time, I don't know what the rules are now, but at that time I was doing it for free. So I would do my one job on the side. I was a server. And then I would go off and intern at whatever publication or whatever station it was, in case it was actually Global News Saskatoon. The director there kind of took a chance on me, Lisa Ford. She's incredible. She really opens the doors for young female journalists. So I look back and laugh because I look at what I was offering as an 18-year-old, and I'm sure it wasn't incredible content, but I was learning so much, and they actually let me put together stories and, you know, be a reporter in a sense, reporting to a desk and a show that I had watched my entire life growing up. So I would do the internships. I interned for an entertainment magazine. I interned for CTV Morning Live in Vancouver. So I moved there for 4 months in my last year of university. So there's a lot of work that kind of builds into starting your career. And as someone who's now, you know, well within my career, I would say the networking piece, who you know, the leaving good impressions, the working hard at the start, it really does make a massive impact down the line. So like I mentioned, went into the newspaper right after and worked with Cam Hutchinson, who was the managing editor there. And I was the photographer. I did anywhere from 5 to 12 stories a week. It was a weekly publication. And at the time, I just phoned the director of Global News, Lisa, and I just said, I'm home. I don't know if there's any opportunities. I'm actually going to go hone my skills here at this newspaper, but I'm here and I'm from Saskatchewan and I know the people and I know the community. And I'm willing to work really hard. So if there's an opportunity that comes up, keep me in mind. And that was that. Like I just said, what you do initially pays off later. So about a year in, she called me and there was an opening and she said, I think this is perfect for you. Serendipitously, it was on the morning show, which is exactly what I wanted to do. It was a producing role. So it wasn't a major on-air role, which was okay because I was 22 and I wasn't even sure if I was ready to be on air. And leapt into that. And the beauty of working at a small station is I was on air within the week. I was hosting a community segment called The Breakfast Buzz, which I think it's adorable to look back on now. I was so nervous and I was so excited to just be on the morning show there. And yeah, that's how it all kind of started. From there on, being in that small station, I went from a producer to the morning live reporter. So you're out on the scene covering the breaking news, covering the community events, doing all the kind of fun stuff. When you imagine those live reporters out there, I got to try everything. I went skydiving on air, you know, things like that. You got to really like show yourself as a community presence. And I'm a person that likes to try anything once. So loved that role, maybe one of my favorite roles I've ever done. And from there, I went to the weather presenter, so the co-host of the show. And then I got headhunted over to CTV in Calgary. So that was a big move to move provinces and actually be the host of the show. So in entirety, that would cover 11 years of working. So it's not quick, but everything kind of starts to fall into place with each role that you take. You develop new skills and it leads to the role, which was my goal. I was always thinking I want to host a show. I had said before 30, I was there at 26. So it was really cool to see my dreams come to fruition.
Yes, definitely. And it's really cool to see how, like, throughout your journey, you took those opportunities to build relationships. And those relationships eventually open doors and also show your work in whatever way you could. So I love that. It was like building blocks to where people, I guess, now recognize you from. And speaking of recognition, I was curious too, like, were there mentors along the way and people that really encouraged you in this space? And personally for me, seeing you as a host in that space was really interesting for me, being also in Saskatchewan and yeah, seeing someone of color like have such a prominent role. So were there people around you who also inspired you like that, kind of like paved the way in a way that made you think like, I can be here too?
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. The representation is huge for me. I was a news kid growing up. I remember watching Ian Hammond announcing as like a young tot, and he's still just such a mega dynamite figure in the news world and now at a national and international level. But with that being said, I had not seen many people that looked like me on screen, if all. And I think it's obvious to see that in the fact that I was looking for people that looked like me. So I liked Oprah, I was reaching very far to see any sort of representation that would be close to home, which there were some. Obviously, you know, there's Andrea Bain, who started in Saskatchewan and is now recently one of the new co-hosts of The Social, which is just so incredible to see, but very few and far in between. As I went in, I will say I still felt that pressure going into the industry, especially like you said, in Saskatchewan, we're still not seeing a ton of representation on air. I think that's slowly shifting, but in that station, I was the only Black female. There was another Black male, Joel Senek, Joel and Joelle, and we were good friends. And he's actually the 6 p.m. anchor for Global News here in Calgary now. So his career has also skyrocketed, and it's been just so great to see. But a lot of times I did feel like I had to carve out the space for myself. I didn't see anyone that looked like me, but that was okay because I guess I would just have to be that person. I've never really been scared of a challenge in that sense. I think I was just raised with this, I want to say confidence. I honestly am very fortunate to have a confidence where I think I can step into spaces. And I think that came from growing up in Saskatchewan and not just in the news world, but being the only Black person in almost my entire high school. I think there was 5 or 6 of us out of, you know, 1400. And you can probably relate to what I'm saying here. You know, it's something you almost get used to. I don't want to say desensitized because you notice it, but you're used to being that person. So moving to Toronto was great for me because I saw diversity and more inclusion. I got to talk to other people about what that felt like and kind of settle into my own skin and be confident when I stepped on air. In terms of mentors, yes, absolutely. So I mentioned Lisa Ford. She's a female news director, or was a female news director in Saskatoon. And she opened the door to start my career. And I owe the start of my broadcast career to her. And I know so many other female journalists who would say the same thing about her. And the great thing about her leadership in particular was the door was always open. You could have the conversations without being scared of leadership. She felt, yes, like your boss, but also like somebody that wanted to empower you. And sometimes in an industry like journalism, where it's quick deadlines, a little bit cutthroat, you know, you're turning things around in a day, it can be a tough industry to be a part of. It can be intimidating, especially for a young female entering the scene, particularly for an intersectionalized female who maybe feels like she might be the first or hasn't seen a lot of that. So I've got to credit her for opening the door. And then ironically enough, another Lisa Dutton, she was the anchor of the morning show when I started. And I was petrified of her because her talent is incredible. She's now an anchor for the Winnipeg market, the Manitoba and the Saskatchewan market for Global News. Just a really solid anchor, but also just a really solid human. Instead of seeing me as any sort of threat or someone that she didn't really have to pay attention to because I'm about 10 years younger, she took me under her wing. She helped me with my anchoring skills. She brought me into opportunities and recognized my strengths and would throw me into situations where those strengths really shone. So I have nothing but good things to say about, you know, if you're particularly a woman in an industry where maybe you don't feel like your voice is being heard, really linking up with other women and empowering them and lifting them up, because I'm a huge believer in just, there's so much room at the table and we're only stronger together. So I credit both of those Lisas for being huge influences on my career and just encouraging me. So I hope to do that for others when they reach out, because I was fortunate enough to get that.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing, and just love hearing how you talked about carving out the space. Definitely very relatable. I think there's that aspect of, for lack of a better word, pioneering in a lot of ways that is unique to our, like, I guess, Black experience in Saskatchewan, how we show up professionally as well. And I also wanted to get into, I saw a recent LinkedIn post of yours where you talked about transitioning from the role you had with CTV to your own projects. And yeah, like, what was kind of like your biggest takeaway from having that main role, I guess, first of all, and like getting to that point? And what are the initiatives now that are important to you that you are working on as an individual with your own work?
It's been a really exciting and also scary period of life for me. But hey, I said scary back in university, you know, and as an adult, I need to be scared and challenged as well. I think that's the only way we grow. I will preface this with saying I was caught up in the Bell layoffs. So they laid off 1,300 people across Canada. In Western Canada, they removed one host, one co-host from each show. And so I was the host that was let go. My co-host, Jefferson Humphreys, he's now anchoring that show, the CTV Morning Live Calgary. So I'm going to be very honest. It can be really, really terrifying when it's not in your plan. And I'm type A and I plan everything. And I plan everything down to a T. And for me to be thrown out of that and not entirely sure what my skills would translate to was a scary experience. I know I use that word a lot, but it's really relatable right now. So I had some opportunities where I could just jump back into journalism, but I kind of wanted to take a step back because I'm the person, like I said, who has the plan. Well, I made sure I had a job the second I got out of university. I made sure from high school that I jumped right into university. I made sure that when I finished my job in Saskatoon on the Friday, the next week I was in Calgary setting up for my job in Calgary. So as I reflected, I realized I've never taken a break. And break might be the wrong word there, because by break, I was like, well, I got to figure out what's next. And maybe it's in the world of journalism. And maybe it's in the world of using my skills of communication and my skills on panels and public speaking and consulting. Maybe it's in that world as well. So it took some time. I think it's been a couple of months since I was laid off. And like I had said about networking and the people you impact, so many people reached out immediately being like, hey, we're actually looking for someone with your skill to host this event or to moderate this panel or to commentate on this sports event, things that I couldn't say yes to as a full-time news anchor working for an organization. So I started to think, okay, maybe there's something here. Maybe I do have something I can offer to the world still. I think it just kind of catapulted me into this next phase of my life. So as of right now, I'm very fortunate. I'm pretty much fully booked for the next couple of months. Summer little events where I just do openings or I lend my voice to the mic. A lot of businesses just need a confident person speaking into a mic to make the experience for consumers so much better. And some of them are initiatives, like you mentioned, that really speak to my heart. A lot of them are former guests that I've interviewed on morning shows that are putting together these galas or putting together these charity events or trying to make something really successful and really valid in our community, but they need the leadership of an MC or a storyteller or somebody who has the experience to translate that to the public. So some exciting ones that I actually can say, some are obviously confidential right now, but I've got a huge gala coming up with the Calgary Humane Society. It's called Cocktails and Critters. I am a dog rescue mama. So I've got two puppies and I'm just so passionate about animal welfare and I'm really big on the adopt don't shop. So it's just kind of a perfect fit for me. I'll be emceeing the gala in September. I am involved with Judo Canada. Actually, I'll be commentating on an international championship that's coming up also in September as well. So I get to dive into the sports world, which is something that I didn't have a ton of opportunity to do, but as a person who was very involved in sports growing up, have always had an eye on. So kind of cool to see like the doors open to different opportunities. I guess the door shut and then a window opened. Coming up in October, I'm hosting an infertility gala with the Pregnancy Loss and Support Group and Advocacy Center right here in Calgary. And I believe there's some more coming down the pipe, but I'm just saying the first ones off the top of my head. I will be on stage at Oktoberfest, which is a really cool event. It's a sober music festival, which I hadn't heard of in the past. The reason that they pulled me into that is not only as, you know, a TV host and a storyteller, but as somebody who's been personally impacted by mental health and addictions. My story is very public. I lost my brother to a fentanyl overdose. So I'm very open to sharing that story when I know it'll make a positive impact for those listening. So yeah, it's been a cool experience. I can't tell you what's coming, you know, in 2 months. I can't tell you what's coming in 6 months, but I do know that the emails keep coming in and the conversations are continuing to happen. And I've shifted more into the excited part and less out of the terrified stage.
Definitely. And it's really cool to hear that the years of relationship building are still showing up for you. Like you still have that return in relationship. I don't want to say ROI because not everything's so transactional. Yeah.
I'm going to say one of my, like, I really do live by the Maya Angelou quote of how you make people feel. I don't ever know exactly how the quote goes, but it's all about, you know, nobody's going to remember what you said or what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And it's something that I just consistently live my life. And I hope that when people leave interactions with me, they are feeling good and they are feeling heard.
Definitely. And I'm also curious about, like, when you talk about new opportunities and new community engagement, I'm also curious about where you think journalism and news and that type of consumption is going. Because I know, like, I've seen, like, Brandon Gomez, for example, on YouTube and end up subscribing to him. Did not actually know who he was before that, but he's so active on social media. And I was just curious, do you see some of those trends even happening in the journalism space as well, or just changing how, I guess, people interact with information in general?
Yeah, Brandon Gomez actually started in Regina when I was in Saskatoon. So
oh, wow.
I was growing to Brandon Gomez stories when I was hosting the show. So it's really, really cool to see him in that space. I will be very transparent. Me being laid off is a result of less news consumption in the traditional sense. So we're falling revenue for traditional journalism. We are seeing less clicks on ads, you know, on traditional journalism websites, falling subscriptions. We've seen that. I won't go too into it, but if you Google Bill C-18, it's the Online News Act. It kind of explains what's going on in terms of, you know, at this very moment in time, it's getting harder and harder to access Canadian journalism. I don't think it's the result that news consumers want to see. I think it takes away from a lot of the hard work that Canadian journalists are putting in to getting verified information to our consumers, verified, vetted, and even lawyered at points. And I think that's something people need to understand that journalism has that a lot of other news sources or quote unquote news sources may not have. With that being said, there's a massive shift to digital. From the time that I came into the journalism sphere as a working journalist in 2013, already they were talking about, you know, things are shifting to digital, things are shifting to online. It's not so much about the traditional 6 p.m. sit down, have dinner, watch newscast anymore. Now it's about constant access to information, social media. It's about video, not just TV, which, you know, I'm an old soul. I really like the traditional newscasts, but I can see where it's headed. Like you mentioned with Brandon, there's a lot of news consumption that's happening that way now. People are getting their news off TikTok. People are getting their news off X. I guess it's not called Twitter anymore. Off Instagram, they're clicking off links to go to that. And I do think traditional journalism is scrambling to get there. I think that, you know, now they're starting to have apps that you can click the links and go to their website and get that information. To be honest, we were a little behind. Streaming is huge. So if you want to make it in this world, you've got to be streaming. That's my personal opinion. But I think a lot of people would agree who, you know, they don't want to sit through commercials anymore through half an hour programs. So there is a massive shift happening. I'm very interested to see in the next even 2 to 5 years how that consumership goes. Obviously, the Online News Act is going to impact this and what happens with that. It is legislated, so it is legal. I don't know how much backpedaling can really happen, but you know, there's always room to come back to the table for parties above my head and above my pay grade. So I'm not sure, I don't have a crystal ball in terms of that, but you are going to see way more traditional sites like Global News and CTV and CBC. They're shifting. We are going to hear them in podcasts. CBC has a podcast venue now. We are going to see them on social media. You have to go to where the audience is, right? And in the end, journalism really does matter. Right now, the wildfires in the Northwest Territories, the wildfires happening near Kelowna, we need that information and we need it from people we can trust. So it'll be interesting to see how that shift goes. I think you just mentioned you follow Brandon on YouTube. I think that's where we're headed. I think we're seeing a digital first strategy and we may see a bit of, I don't want to say the death, but we are seeing just the cuts happening to the shows. And I said, I'm a casualty of that. So it's already kind of a period of time where traditional news is struggling. So we'll see if we can pull up their bootstraps and hopefully succeed in just a different space.
Thanks for your transparency and sharing your journey and like just what's happening in your industry in general. I think that's very interesting for people to see and know about, even from a lived experience lens. I guess we're getting to the last question. And I think one of the questions I wanted to ask for the last question for you is, what do you value the most about the position that you are in today?
I think what I value most about the position I'm in today, which is just freelancing and lending my voice to the community, is the freedom. So I've never really had that. I've always kind of been owned by a corporation. I've always had my strict hours and when I'm in and when I'm out. And if you know morning show hours, I was up every day around 3 a.m. for the last 6 years of my life, actually the last 10 years of my life. And so I think what I value right now is the freedom to be able to say yes to my mental health, say yes to my work-life balance, and choose projects that really invigorate me and that I'm passionate about and allow me to build relationships in a much more intimate way than just getting 5 minutes with somebody on a morning show. So I'm valuing my freedom and I'm valuing what I bring to the table. I think it's a time in my life where I had to reevaluate my skills and see what is my worth. And I'm starting to step into that. So I'm in this kind of special part of my life. I'm in my 30s where I'm really starting to figure out my worth and my value and how I can continue to not only monetize that, but also just appreciate it and hopefully enhance everybody's experience, in the process.
Thank you so much for sharing your story for the Okiki podcast today, Joelle. It's just been so awesome to hear your story firsthand, other than what you've shared online, and just, yeah, the humility in the journey that you've gone on. So just thank you for sharing your story and your value with the podcast today.
You are so welcome. I love it. I love what you're doing. And, I hope I gave you some tidbits of wisdom, and it was so nice meeting you.
Definitely. And sorry, I wanted to also ask, where can the audience find you if they want to also catch up with you on your projects?
There's a couple ways. I'm most active on Instagram. I'm a product of the millennial generation. my Instagram is Joelle_T. So it's just Joelle_T. They can find me on my website, which is joelletomlinson.ca. And I think those are the two best options right now to get in touch. I haven't been super active on X since taking my little sabbatical from journalism. But if you Insta DM me or contact me through my site, I'm very quick to get back to you.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you again. And definitely thanks for sharing the value with our audience today.
Always. Thank you.